Back in 2013, we did a memorable series on caregivers. How so many Americans are doing an essential job that gets no notice, typically no pay or even help from the government. So many people reached out to us to share their caregiver experiences. Caregivers to wounded veterans, autistic children, to people on a suicide watch with a loved one. Bernice Osborne Pollard from Boston back in the summer of 2013 was still taking care of her mother Mary, who had Alzheimer's. It was at great cost to Bernice, she told us.
One of the things that I've definitely sacrificed is a career. Like, I haven't had the opportunity to develop interests that, you know, things that I even wanted to be able to pursue. And there was a time when I didn't think that I would be able to get married because I was like, who is going to marry me in this situation or have children? And I thought that that would be another one of the sacrifices. I was willing to make that sacrifice.
You were?
But thankfully, I was willing to do that. I mean, I only have one mother. You know, I'm not going to look back and say, oh, gosh, you know, I'm not a CEO of my own company because I took care of my mom. I don't think those are going to be the conversations that I have in my head.
You probably have tips for how to date when you're taking care of your mom with Alzheimer's, right?
Yeah.
No kidding.
How do you date when you are a caregiver? I actually met my husband in a bar. I know people say that they can't meet their future partner in a bar, but I would just say be honest about your situation and what that situation is. If it's the right person, they will be understanding of the role that you play with your loved one. They will be accepting of you as you are. And so it won't be an issue. If you're dating someone and it is an issue, then that's not the person that you should be dating.
Do you remember when you understood that your mother was diagnosed and that she would reach a point where she would need pretty much full-time caregiving? Did you see that point coming, and did you have to make decisions and think about what your responsibility was going to be?
I do remember there's been points where we, you know, my sister and I decided, well, I can't go back to work. Or how can we go back to work? If I go back to work, who's going to stay home with mom? You know, who's going to watch mom? If we're at work, one of us is going to have to stay home. And so we both made the decision to work part-time so that we could keep her home and that we would be able to watch her, because at that point she was wandering. And then there was a point where she started to have seizures, and we didn't think we'd be able to keep her home, but we just made adjustments and ended up interviewing home health aides because we were burnt out. But we didn't know we were burnt out until that moment had happened where she had a seizure and she was in the hospital, and we actually got to sleep late. We got to sleep past 7:30 in the morning, and so we were like, hey, we're burnt out.
Want to hear a number?
Is it a good number?
It's an amazing number. I mean, you're one of, you know, 14.5 million caregivers dealing with someone with Alzheimer's, who each year give about 17.5 billion hours of unpaid care, not unlike the routine you've just described to me. Do you know what the value of all that is, estimated by, you know, economists and all those smart people? $216 billion.
Wow. You couldn't pay me to do this, though, John. You couldn't pay me to do it because I would do it anyway.
Sure.
You know, it's my mom. On the other side of it, though, I feel like there should be other supports in place to support people who are taking care of their loved one at home.
Is your mom there? So many people describe just how disorienting and heartbreaking the experience of Alzheimer's is for someone who, I imagine, you had a pretty close relationship with your mom, if you're doing this much for her at this point in her life. Is she there?
So she...
That's a tough one.
There are moments when she's there. But she doesn't speak anymore, and
But Bernice, you're there. That's the amazing thing about the caregiver thing. You're there even though she's, and so heartbreakingly not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are moments where she is there. You know, she used to smile a lot, and now she doesn't do that anymore. And but my sister always sings to her, and when she does, she opens her eyes a little wider, and she looks for us in the room, and so we know that that part of her is still there. But, you know, there's not much there that's my mom.
Well, part of our mission this week to all the people that we've talked to is just simply to say, how's it going today? How's your mom doing today? What would your answer to that question be?
I would say she's stable. She's good. I mean, she's not in any pain or discomfort, and so for that we're thankful. So she's doing okay.
And you? How are you doing? How's it going today?
Today's okay. I've had better days for other reasons, but I'm doing okay today. I'm thankful to have my family, so I am doing okay.
What do you think your daughter will remember from this experience?
I hope she remembers how to take care of someone, so if she has to take care of her mom, she knows what to do. But I just hope that she remembers the compassion that we've shown to her grandparents, and that she repeats the same thing with her parents.
Somehow I'm thinking she's probably going to get that message, Bernice.
I hope so.
Well, Bernice, the best of luck to you.
Thank you very much, John.
That conversation, part of our last week of Hockenberry, look back at some of the memorable conversations on The Takeaways from July 2013. Bernice Osborne Pollard and her sister Brenda cared for their mother Mary up until her death in July of 2016.